I don't think I ever turned the microphone on. It's been about 20 years ago that I got up to preach one Sunday morning at the Southwest Church of Christ in Ada. And I hemmed and hawed around and finally said, "Look, I'm just really embarrassed. I'm really sorry. But this week was such a challenge. I've arrived this morning totally unprepared. I just don't have a sermon ready to share." Now, I have all kinds of excuses, but the fact is, I just didn't do my job this week. You could have heard a pin drop. And of course, then I told him, "Look, I'm just pulling your leg." Now, I did that to illustrate how that sometimes we expect some to be very diligent in preparing and then let others completely off the hook. Christians are supposed to be prepared people, which means there must be some preparing done, some preparations done. The fact is, this is one of the biggest challenges of living a Christian life. Of course, if you procrastinate and you postpone everything, if that's a habit of your life, you probably shouldn't be puzzled why it's so hard to be focused and diligent about eternity. And so this morning, we're addressing a very dangerous habit that can also become a destructive attitude. We're going to look at some scriptures. And quite frankly, we're just going to get down to where the rubber meets the road this morning in helping us to understand how we are to constantly be preparing. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I wish you'll get your Bible or open your app on your phone or however you look at the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul's last letter that we have recorded. He writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 and says, "Be diligent." Now the old King James says, "Study to show yourself." But the original Greek word here literally means to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shame profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. It's interesting. Now Paul's going to name names. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands." Now don't miss this. "The solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." But in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Paul does not sugarcoat it. And so he begins this passage, "Be diligent." Who is able to present themselves approved to God? Well, a worker with no reason to be ashamed. That's who. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's who. Only those have actually truly been diligent. Paul also gets painfully practical in verse 19. I love this verse. The Lord has no doubt who belongs to Him. They wear this seal. They've departed from iniquity. Why? Because they are preparing. They're His people. They're preparing. In this text, Paul really gets down to where the rubber meets the road, giving us basically three powerful and positive pieces of advice and counsel. Verse 15, he says, be a student of God's word. He's telling Timothy this and us. Be diligent. Verse 19, make belonging to the Lord your identity. You're His. Live accordingly. And then in verses 19 and 21, repent of selfish ambitions and sin so that you can be preparing to be useful for God and prepared for every good work. This is the key that he shares with Timothy shortly before he died. This is the key to becoming a prepared Christian. Years ago, I was preaching in Allen, Oklahoma. And we were planning a special intense Bible study program. And I was actually calling the members to encourage them to be a part of that. And I called one man, his name was Jerry. And Jerry said, no, I'm not interested. I said, okay, no problem. I was surprised the next day when he called me back and he said, Danny, I've been saying no for 27 years, ever since I became a Christian. And it's time for me to do something. It's time for me to say yes. That's exactly what Paul is talking about as he writes this letter to Timothy. Be diligent. You have to do something to help yourself be prepared. So how do I break out of my habits concerning Christianity? Have you found yourself doing kind of what I pretended that I had done years ago at Southwest? When I said, look, I'm sorry, I have a lot of excuses, but the bottom line is, I'm just not prepared. Have you found yourself looking at your life and saying, look, I have a lot of excuses, but I'm just not putting any effort into preparing? Is this the struggle virtually in every area of your life? Listen to me. You can change that if you're willing to be diligent. All around the wall, we have the Bible, read it more in 2024. And so we've encouraged everyone to get daily chronological Bibles. And in Bible class, I teach from what we've read that week. That's a part of this. That's a part of being diligent. You have to be a student of God's Word. You have to read your Bible consistently. And then you have to make Christ your Lord. Not the Lord of your family or the Lord of your friends. First, He has to be your Lord. And Jehovah God has to be your God. In other words, you have to make this personal in your heart, your mind, and your life. And then you have to repent. It's so easy to live a selfish life. It's so easy to be focused on worldly living. Paul wrote the Romans and said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word conform literally means to be wearing the same fabric, to look like the world. We have to repent of selfish living and purge our hearts and minds and lives of worldly living. That can't be our focus. If you want to be prepared, for eternity, at some point you've got to get to preparing. And quite frankly, it all begins with a one-time acceptance of the challenge. Just like Jerry saying, calling me back and saying, look, it's time for me to quit saying no. That was his way of saying, it's time for me to get busy, to be diligent, to start preparing. What he was really saying, it was a time for him to surrender to his Lord and live for him. Lord, I want to be a vessel for noble purposes. I want to be useful, and I want to be prepared. And I'm beginning right now. That's a part of it. That's how you turn around. And when this happens, you leave here this morning preparing to be prepared. Hebrews chapter 5 says a lot about the fruits of being prepared, especially in the context of maturity. Maturity brings preparedness. In fact, turn to Hebrews 5. I want to show this passage to you. Hebrews 5, verse 11. Right at the end of verse 11, he accuses them of being dull of hearing. Did your mama and daddy ever say, you're not listening to me? That's basically what he's saying. You haven't been listening to God. You have become dull of hearing. Verse 12, Hebrews 5, 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. These brethren had heard the gospel, the good news of Christ. They believed it with all their heart. They were willing to confess with their lips, from their heart, that Jesus Christ was exactly who he claimed to be, the Son of God. They repented of their sins, and they were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And at that point, they were born again. They were new babes in Christ. And they were fed with the milk of the Word. But they didn't grow. Why were they not growing? Why were they not maturing? Because they became dull of hearing. In other words, they quit listening to God's word, willing to apply it to their lives. In fact, he told them that they had forgotten the basics and they needed to be taught again. But notice what a milk diet can't do. A milk diet can't prepare you to skillfully apply God's word to your life. A milk diet cannot mature you spiritually. In other words, the immature were not preparing to be prepared. Look at verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The immature know they should become like Christ. That's the goal of all Christians, to measure up to the fullness of the stature of Christ. But they hadn't taken God's word and made it practical and applied it to their lives. But the mature, well, they'd gotten down to where the rubber meets the road and applied God's word to their daily lives. They're continually using what they had learned and living righteously. And as a result, they could easily understand the difference between what was good and holy and righteous and Christ-like, compared to what was just wrong and evil. And so the Hebrew writer is describing people who are preparing. And yet, in one sense, we'll never be completely prepared because we will keep using what we've learned from the Bible to grow spiritually the rest of our lives. In other words, we'll never stop growing and maturing in Christ. Every day will present us with opportunities to grow and to mature. And on some days, you'll face huge challenges and trials. And then on some days, man, the sailing is smooth. But from the little things to the colossal things, you have to be preparing. And every day, the Word of God has to be a focus. And it has to be put into practice. And when that happens, you're going to grow spiritually. I've had the opportunity to teach a number of people how to play golf. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not a student of all the complexities of the golf swing. And when I'm teaching somebody to play golf, I don't have them sit down and lecture them about all the strategies of golf. And I don't tell them, look, if you're not shooting par golf in 6 months, you just need to sell the clubs and give up. What I do is I start with the basics. And you know what the most basic thing is in playing golf? It's putting a golf ball 2 feet from the hole into the hole. It's that basic. And so when I teach people to golf, I start 2 feet from the hole and teach them the basic mechanics of how you putt a golf ball. And then back up farther and back up farther from the hole and learn how to lag the ball up close to the hole so you could two putt, not three putt. And then off the green, I teach them how to chip the ball up on the green and start getting a feel for how far that ball is going to go. And then I back up more. And finally, we're 50 yards from the green. And we learn how to hit that 50-yard shot, and then a 100-yard shot, and then a 150-yard shot. And last of all, we get on the tee box and start hitting the driver. Now, most people want to start on the tee box. And they want to shut their eyes and swing hard as they can and whack that golf ball with that driver. And that golf ball will do all kinds of interesting things. When I first started golfing, I'm left-handed. I'd hit that ball and sometimes I thought it was going to turn plumb around and hit me. I couldn't hit it straight. But I could learn how to putt from 2 feet. I could learn the basics. The most effective way to learn to golf is to learn the most basic skills, chipping and putting. By the way, those skills save most golfers 10 to 20 strokes a round. And so that's where you begin with your preparations. So how do you begin to become a preparing Christian? You practice the basics. You put into practice the most basic things you learn in the Bible. For instance, you learn to depend on God by praying every day without ceasing. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, help me through today. Lord, help me to shine brightly that others can see Christ living in me today. Lord, help my friend who is ill. Help me to influence them to depend on you. You begin praying. That's as basic as it gets. That's the 2 foot putt from the hole. You never miss an opportunity to study your Bible. And so you read it more in 2024. You get into that habit. You have a special time of the day where you sit down and you study God's Word, or you at least read God's Word and think about God's Word. That's as basic as it gets. That's the 3 foot putt. You pry yourself out of your shell and you start serving others. Now you're chipping on the green. And you're helping others. You start by calling on those who miss church, or you go by and see them, or you text them, and you encourage those who are grieving or who are ill or discouraged. In other words, these are the basics. You get busy helping others. Listen to me. In almost all congregations, it is possible to miss church for several months without any member checking on you. Most say, well, that's the preacher's job. But it's an opportunity for every one of us. It's chipping off the green, or on the green. It's one of the basics. It's a basic of becoming like Christ. Every one of us has a phone or more. We're talking about the basics. And quite frankly, we have to be maturing to do this. If you're not maturing, you're on the milk of the word, and you're not going to take those actions. But a lot of maturing will lead you to becoming more and more connected to your brethren. In fact, you may back all the way up and hit it off the tee box and help others in substantial ways simply by being like Jesus. It's by reason of use that your senses are exercised to discern between good and evil. And so whatever you're doing, you may not think about it this way, but you can. You are preparing to be fully prepared. If you're leading a prayer or a song or a Bible class, you're preparing. But there's so much more that you can do for the Lord other than standing in a pulpit or waiting on the communion or those kind of things. Living for Christ is the most substantial thing you will ever do. And you're not going to be prepared to do that without making some preparations and dealing with the basics. One thing's for sure, if I showed up this morning and told you, look, I got busy this week and there were some really good football games on, and you know, I'm sorry, but we're just going to sing some extra songs and go home. Would you be upset with me? I'd be upset with you if you weren't upset with me. You would be upset with me, and rightly so. You wouldn't tolerate that from the preacher. Because you're demanding, look, I want to be fed spiritually. That's my responsibility. Often people will ask me on Monday or Tuesday, what are you doing? Well, it's Monday, but Sunday's coming. I'm preparing. I'm not a last minute guy. Or it's Tuesday and Sunday's coming. And if things are happening where I can't get in my study and really start, you know, working on that sermon or sermons for the next Sunday, and I get to Thursday, I'm in a panic. I feel like I'm way behind the game, because you have to be preparing to be prepared. In the past, we've had some live plants up here where these are. And thank you, Georgia. This is Georgia's God-given ability. I'm so thankful that it's not my job to make the flower arrangements. It would be pretty sad. But in the past, we've had some plants up here. And one Sunday morning, I was coming down the hallway, and one was sitting out in the hallway, and it was completely wilted due to a lack of water. And so I stopped and shamed that plant for looking like that. No, I didn't do that. That plant was not to be blamed. It didn't choose to be planted in that little basket. And it didn't choose to not be watered or to be watered. But be assured, I could tell the difference between that plant being watered and beautiful or wilted. And the good news is, even if it's wilted, all it takes is water for it to just stand back up and look beautiful again. Unless it's completely died. I want to read something from John 4 where Jesus talked to an outcast, a Samaritan woman at a well. She didn't come to the well to draw water with all the other women early in the morning. She was an outcast in that community. And so she came by herself, but Jesus talked to her. He first said, ask her for a drink of water. You know what her response was? What are you doing talking to me? You're not supposed to be talking to me. But he was supposed to talk to her. And he began to talk about a drink of water that would prohibit you from ever being thirsty again. Look at verse 13, John 4. Whoever drinks of this water in the well, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The only reason that we're not spiritually wilted are dried completely out and dead is that Jesus has given us water to drink that literally is a fountain in and of itself. We never wilt. We never die. But the catch is, you've got to have the initiative to take a drink. And this is how you take a drink. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how you drink. And so is it time? Is it time for you to recommit your heart, your soul, your mind, to becoming prepared? Are you wilting and dying spiritually? Are you feeling very useless and unprepared? Here's the good news. All of that can change this morning. But it takes you deciding that things are going to change. Like Jerry, you've got to say, I've been saying no for 27 years. It's time, Lord, that I say yes. And you have to surrender to Him. And then start drinking till you're satisfied. And drinking of all the blessings that God gives us through Christ. None of that happens, though, without the surrender. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.